Okay. Firstly, I'd like to sincerely thank everyone for having Tracy and I here. And I'm sincerely thankful for the opportunity to preach here for the next 4 weeks. And I hope and pray that that God will speak through me to you folks and bring about some fabulous changes in your lives. I don't know about you people, but I'm always looking for that next surprise from God. And they always tend to be a surprise when God does it. Anyway, Tracy and I came here maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. To visit the church, sorry. Yeah. I remember driving up the road there and we got round here and I said to Tracy, I said, wow, I said, this place is quite nice, isn't it? The nice grounds and gardens and everything else. And we looked at the facilities and I thought to myself, wow, look at this. Isn't it a wonderful place you've got here? And as you heard, I had a shop fitting business and I'm from construction. And when we walked inside here, I did have a little peep on the internet, of course, the way you do, you know. It's like peeping through somebody's keyhole before you go in, isn't it? Make sure it's all okay. And when I walked through the door, I looked up and I thought, wow, this is a really nice place here. And I thought to myself, how many of you folks here, even now are thinking, yeah, it is, but, you know, we don't really see it anymore because we're used to it, we're here every week. Yeah, I can see some of you thinking that, aren't you? You don't see what I see because you're here every week. And I thought, this might be a bit strange. You'll see some of my thoughts get a bit strange, but it's the way I am. You know, I thought to myself, isn't that kind of like moving next to an airport or a railway station? And your first night, you move into your lovely home, and all you can hear are trains and aeroplanes. Then 2 weeks later, your family comes to visit you. And they come in and they say, wow, how do you live here with all that noise of the aeroplanes going overhead? And what do you say? What noise? We don't hear it anymore. Isn't our faith a bit like that, do you think? That we're in it all the time. We live it. Come to church every Sunday. Do you think that sometimes we are so familiar with our faith that we actually forget that it's there? And I thought to myself, there could be an idea for the next 4 weeks for me. I thought I could spend the next 4 weeks reminding us. Not you, us. I need the reminders. I'm no different to you. I could spend the next 4 weeks reminding us about different things that we have that we might forget about. But I thought, would this be biblical? Do I want to come here and tell you people what I think you already know? So, of course, I get my Bible back out, and in 1 Corinthians we can see that Paul had to remind the church of no less than the gospel. And in 2 Peter, Peter had to remind the church of the newfound personal and hopefully Christ-like qualities and characteristics. And not only that, Peter, he made a point to remind the church often. He would continue to remind them. And of course, the Lord's table. What's the idea of that? A reminder. So, to give you a reminder is biblical. So the next 4 weeks, I would like to preach on number one, which is today, who or what we are. Number two, next week, what we have, which is God. And number three, following week, why we have it, which is Jesus. And number four, what we should be doing, how we should be living our lives here, now, today, in light of number one, two, and three. So today, who or what are we? Are we God's highest creation? Are we chosen? Are we special? Do you want to be special? We all want to be special, don't we? I can hear the world outside. Me, me, I'm special. No, you're not. Get down. Okay. Genesis chapter 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind." I've actually put mankind in, because my Bible says man. I read the ESV. I also have the NIV on there, because I know that's a popular Bible. The reason I say mankind is I'm not one of these people that's a bit afraid of all this personal correctness, and I can't say man because the women will feel left out. I'm not like that. But the reason I said mankind is because I truly believe it fits the context better. And so I'm using the word mankind. Then God said, and some, the NIV of course will actually say mankind, I think. Then God said in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make mankind." And I thought to myself, was this really mankind's beginning, this first mention? Well, I don't think that even Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God made the heavens and the earth," I don't even think that's the beginning for mankind. I think mankind was in God's mind way before that. And of course there are certain scriptures that can back that up. But what I was thinking about was I made my wife here a bookcase for her birthday. This is, and you're probably thinking, what's this fellow going to talk about bookcases for? But it's a huge bookcase. And I made it so it comes in, I think, 7 parts. And it still takes 2 people to move it. Weighs just short of 0.5 ton when it's complete. And I thought to myself, did I one day just say, I think I'll make you a bookcase, Tracy, and crash bang wallop? No, I didn't. I had to have her books and university papers in my mind before I began to make the bookcase. I had to be mindful of what was going to go in my creation before I created it. Otherwise, I could have made this fabulous bookcase and not a single book fit in it. And so, I think God had us in mind as he created the dry land and the sun for warmth and daylight. And as he created the earth to spin round once every 24 hours to give us our day, and our daytime and our nighttime. And as he made the earth to spin round the sun once every 365 and a quarter, just in case anyone might pull me up for saying 365 days a year, to give us our year. And tilted the earth at 23 and a half degrees to give us our seasons. And I think he had us in mind as he planted the flora, trees and plants, possibly for food, etc. But did God do all this creating because we are special? And because we have special needs, and because we're important? Did all this lot not also had to be created for the wildlife? Do they not have all the same needs in the physical sense that we have? Which I think they do. And I kind of thought, okay, well, and you've got to let me see where I'm going with this one, and you will do. I kind of figured, well, in that sense, that kind of puts the wildlife equal to us really so far, and you'll see where I'm headed in a moment. And then I kind of, because my mind drifts off on these tangents, and I think when I'm writing sermons, it's like a little firework display going on inside my mind. And so I then began to consider the wildlife, and I thought about dogs. Do you know dogs have 1 million times more smelling sense in their nose than we have? And eagles, 8 times more seeing power than we have. Bats, 25 times more hearing power, plus sonar. See the picture I'm painting here with these wildlife? And I kind of figured, well, gee, it looks like the animals are, if there was a race on, they're ahead of us here at this point. And so I kind of figured, well, hang on a minute. As Psalm 139:14 says, if we are fearfully and wonderfully made, where are our super senses and abilities? Well, we can return to the Bible to find out. In Genesis 1:11, the Bible says, let the earth sprout vegetation. Now, I looked through all my commentaries and the various other commentaries that I could get hold of to see what's going on here. Let the earth sprout forth vegetation. Do we think that God just stood back and said, earth, sprout forth vegetation? Because I think if the earth could speak, it would look up to God and say, what, me? I don't know how to sprout forth vegetation. You see, what I think God meant was, let the earth, let the climate dictate to me how I design the flora, the plants and the trees. You never see banana trees on the Arctic tundra, would you? That's what I think that means. And similarly, in Genesis 1:24, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Surely God didn't just sit back and come on earth. What I think that means is God, in his mind, said, I will let the environment dictate to me how I design and create the wildlife. So the fauna was created to suit its environment. Animal behavior, therefore, is dictated by its environment and needs. And animals have super senses to cope with their needs, to cope with the environment. But that's enough about them. What about us? Genesis 1:26. Let us make mankind in our image, after our likeness. So being made in God's likeness, excuse me, what do we have that the animals don't? We have access to super senses and abilities that far outweigh anything in the animal kingdom. Believe me, those animals can do some super duper smart things. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, the Bible tells us that we have God's mind. Anyone here ever look in the mirror and say, I have God's mind? And by having God's mind, I mean, there could be a bunch of sermons on this subject alone, but obviously I'm just going to say a couple of words on it. By having God's mind, we are spiritual beings. I suppose with this, having God's mind, I'm going to focus on the things that are not physical. And we are spiritual beings. We can make ethical and moral decisions. We can be merciful. An animal can't. If an animal sees a threat, there's one or two things: bang, it's off, or bang, it's on you. And it's not on you to give you a little cuddle. Another thing that we have, which is like God, we are creators. An eagle has 8 times better sight than we have, but mankind can build telescopes with 1,000,000 times better sight than an eagle. We can do anything that animals can do, but better. Because we have God's mind, we're creators. We also have wisdom, but only if we desire it. I know some Christians have been Christians for 20, 30 years, and some of them have less wisdom than somebody who's been a Christian for 2 years. We have to desire wisdom. We have to chase it. Or should I say, like the Bible says, her, like precious gold. Pursue her, cling to her. Wisdom. Wisdom can help us with proper decision making. Animals can't make decisions, let alone proper ones. Someone might say, well, that animal's deciding to eat. I'm saying, no, it isn't. That animal is eating because it's hungry. It's not. If I'm hungry, I can say, gee, I'm starving, but I want to lose a kilo, so I think I won't eat. But if an animal's hungry, bang, it's going to eat. No decision. And another one that we have, and this, I think, is a pretty big one: faith. We We don't always make decisions solely on our senses. Sometimes with the shop filling, there were times towards the end it got really difficult. And if I was going to make decisions based on my senses, I would have said, I'm out of here. But I didn't. I knew that I was there for a purpose. I had faith. And even though the situation at times might have been difficult, I ignored the difficulty and kept going because I knew there was a bigger, higher purpose. So therefore, we can quite confidently declare that we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. And I know that we could say, well, the Bible says we are anyway, so you can declare that. Fair enough. But how many times could I say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and oh yes, I am. But you don't really cling to that. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are God's highest creation. And when I reached this point, that, yeah, of course, we are God's highest creation, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, I thought, And then it occurred to me, so are the unsaved. The unsaved have all that I've discussed so far. Okay. How does that set us apart? It doesn't. But unlike non-Christians, we are God's chosen people. And how's that, you might ask? Aren't Israel God's chosen people? And I'd say no. I would say absolutely, definitely no. We are God's chosen people. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us we're chosen. Revelation 17:14 tells us we're chosen. And in John 15:16, Jesus himself said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." We are chosen. But we're not only chosen, we are also special. But again, somebody might say, but what about Israel? In God's eyes, aren't they special? Aren't they more special than others? Let me tell you, folks, that Israel are no more special than we are. They're not. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 4 to 12, Moses warns Israel. They're just about to go into the promised land. And Israel must have been thinking pretty highly of themselves for Moses to say to them, now, don't think you're going in here because you're special. You're not. You're going in here because of the sins of the other nations. In fact, later on in that passage, Moses goes on to tell us that the nation of Israel was stubborn and disobedient, rebellious, provocative. They provoked God, provoked him to anger. They were corrupt and deserving of destruction. Israel are no better than we are. In fact, in 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says we are special. He says we are God's special possession. But I can hear somebody else jump up and say, but aren't Israel the true descendants of Abraham? The true descendants of Abraham, to whom the promise of a great nation and many blessings was given. Well, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Israel are not the true descendants of Abraham. Well, they are, if you look at it from a physical context, the physical Abraham and the physical people of Israel, yes, they're descendants, but that's not what the Bible's talking about. The Bible is talking about spiritual descendants. And in Galatians 3:7, Paul says it's we, us, those who have faith in God's provision through Jesus Christ, are the true descendants of Abraham. And in Galatians 3:29, Paul says, and I'm quoting here, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, hers according to the promise. So Abraham's promises of a great nation and many blessings, you are his, hers, offspring. It's you. And so, what I like to do now is come to a conclusion and wrap the message up just in a few sentences. And it's this. And it's really important to try and understand this. When I say understand it, I know you understand it, but I mean in here, to have it touch in here. And I can conclude confidently that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are all capable of doing amazing things. Every one of us are capable of doing amazing things. Each and every one of us is made for an amazing purpose. We are chosen. We are God's special possession, the true descendants of Abraham. We are a holy nation. And that is who or what we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you that we know we can do amazing things. That we are amazing beings in Christ. And we ask you, Lord, to touch all of our hearts, to take hold of that light that is inside us and to fan it to a flame and to realize our full potential and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.